All right, good evening, everybody. Take your Bible, let's go to John chapter 14. And tonight, I believe what we will do is begin a series of messages about principles of studying your Bible. I will do my best, no promises, but I will do my best to keep these messages concise. And I hate to use that word that rhymes with tort, because I can't guarantee you that it'll be short. But I will do my best to try to be concise and to the point. And, well, I'm going to jump into this if I don't slow down. So how about we read and then we'll pray and then I'll jump in. So let's go to John 14. Go down to verse 23. 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." So those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that he mentions in verse 23 about loving him directly related to keeping his words. So more about that in a minute, kind of kick us off to show you where we're going here tonight. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us here, all right? Lord, we come again to you, knowing that we need your help in understanding what's before us. We are leaning on your Holy Spirit tonight to teach us, to guide us, to lead us into all truth. I pray that you, Lord, because I certainly cannot, but you would impart understanding to everyone who hears tonight. May we, at the end of this message, go away with benefiting from what we heard from you tonight and having some motivation to really dig into our Bibles here, particularly as we go through these things in the weeks to come. And we pray that the name of Jesus Christ be glorified tonight, and we pray this in his name. Amen. So let's pretend that I bought all the materials for you to make a do-it-yourself doghouse. Who's got a dog in here? Several of you, right? Dogs. Okay. You need a doghouse, right? Nice to have a doghouse, if you have an outside dog particularly. I got all the materials. I got the plywood. I got the boards. I bought all that. And I even went as far as printing off the instructions for you. So you got all the materials. You got the instructions. Let me ask you a question. Do you have everything you need to build that doghouse? All materials and instructions. Do you have everything you need? Brother Paul, help me out. You think so? Yes. Paul says yes. Anybody agree? Disagree? Oh, Brother Mark, I have to say it. You nailed it. Brother Mark got it. You need some tools. What's that? Pun intended. Absolutely. You need a hammer. You need a saw. You need nails. Potentially screws. There's a bunch of other things you would need when it comes to tools. A measuring tape, that would help. When it comes to tools. So if you are missing the tools, you will be unsuccessful in building the doghouse. No matter how much you want to build that doghouse out of the materials, you got to have the tools to put the materials together. If you have the tools, you can complete the project. If you don't have the tools, you can't complete the project. So I use that to tell you that I know oftentimes, and I am guilty of this, we tell people to read and study their Bible. And we tell people how rich and rewarding it is to study the Bible. We say all these things. But we fail to provide Christians with the proper tools needed to study the Bible. So this will be an attempt to equip you with the proper tools to study the Bible. I learned these many years ago. I love going through these every so often. I always benefit from going over them again and again. So it's kind of like if you use tools on the regular, you get comfortable using them. And you can do more things with them, right? Same thing with your Bible. You learn how to use the tools, and then you put them to use. And then you find out, man, you got all these different other directions. You're learning things that the person who gave you the tools had no clue about. And I love that. I love it when people take the tools and then they come to me and they say, look what the Holy Spirit showed me. And I knew this tool, but the Holy Spirit showed this to me, and it's something I'd never seen before. That is so rewarding as a teacher for people to do that. So I don't have a corner on the truth. Pastor doesn't. Nobody does. Amen. The Holy Spirit's got the corner on the truth, and He'll teach you. I'm jumping ahead. We'll get to that. But over the next few weeks, I want to do my best on Sunday nights to try to help you with giving you the tools to help you understand your Bible. So tonight's an introduction. You won't really get much of some tools to use, although you might. We'll see how this goes. And I just want to start off here. Notice in that passage we read, I want to focus again on the Lord saying something about loving Him, John 14:23. Loving the Lord Jesus Christ is directly related to keeping His words. And then he goes on, in case you're wondering, you say, okay, it's just the words that Jesus spoke. No, look at 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but whose? It's the Father which sent me. So Jesus' words are equivalent to the Father's words. What I'm telling you is, if you have a love for God's Word, that's really the first step in getting a good understanding of the Bible. And I'll say it like this. There are many folks walking around who have a great deal of knowledge about God's Word. And it doesn't do anything for them. They know a lot. You've probably been around these folks. They know all. They can answer all the trivia questions. They can tell you all kinds of things you never even dreamed about the Bible. And there's too many folks that have the knowledge, but they don't apply the knowledge. And here's what I think is missing. I think the Lord tells us what's missing. If you love God's words, you will not only seek to know them, but you will seek to live them. And notice he mentions loving Him and keeping His words, which has the idea of actually putting them into practice. So it's good to know a lot, but it's better to love God's words. Start with loving God's words. You'll get to know the Bible, and then you'll see that when you love the Bible, it's much easier to apply it and live it. Because we get puffed up with knowledge. In fact, the Bible says that knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So fall in love with this book. I've heard preachers say many years, they say, fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, man, how can I do that? He's not here. And you actually can fall in love with Him by falling in love with His words. So many things in the Scriptures connected with love for Him and being equivalent to love for His words. So I wonder about people who say they love the Lord, but they don't highly esteem God's Word. Got a big question mark on those people whenever I meet them. Oh, I love the Lord. But you know, there's a mistake over here. And you really love the Lord? You would not correct His words if you really loved Him. You would take them as they are and love them. Okay. Another thing I'll say, introduction. It's not about how much you get into the Word of God. It's not about how much you get into the Word of God. Instead, it's about how much the Word of God gets into you. Go to John 15 real quick. Next chapter over. John 15:5. Great verse here. Actually, 15:7. Jesus talking here. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide where? In you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And if you look at that context there, he's talking about bearing fruit and abiding in Christ. And there's a direct relationship with you and me abiding in Christ and His words abiding, living in us. Not just knowing them, but them being in us, being a part of us. So here's what I'd like to do. I'll give you three basic principles about, as far as introduction on Bible study. So let's start off in one of the most important verses, if not the most important verse, to begin with when it comes to studying the Bible. Let me ask you this. Does the Bible tell you should study the Bible? Does God tell you that? Where is that? 2 Timothy 2:15. Yeah, okay, we got it collectively there. So turn over there. 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, you know that Paul wrote this, and his letters were written to either churches or individuals who led churches. And his letters, all of Paul's epistles, are specifically applicable to all people in the church age who are saved. So what we're about to read, this is not just for the Bible teacher or the pastor. This is for anybody who's saved. You have a command here. 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's read it. It says, study. Okay, before I go on, little English grammar here. So let's get back in the swing of school, ladies and Hayden, because you can't wait for that. Notice the verse begins with a verb. Study is a verb. In case you don't remember, kids or adults, verb, action. Study is action. The sentence begins with a verb. Well, how do you determine the subject of that sentence, this verse, when it begins with a verb? When you see a sentence begin with an action word, help me out with the subject. You can't answer, grammar teacher. The subject is, you understood. And guess who this is aimed at? Every one of us here tonight. If you're saved, this is aimed at you. So the subject is, you understood. It's a command. This would be, here we go some more. This would be an imperative statement. Am I right on that? Imperative is a command. All right? You remember, aren't you getting excited about this, ladies? Hayden, you getting excited about this? I'm warming you up. You'll be thanking me later. I doubt it. All right, so let's read the rest of the verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So from this passage, point number one, we get the how of Bible study. The how. We get the command to study, and then we get how we're supposed to do it. So point number one, the how of Bible study. And I'll just show you some neat things about this verse here. This verse is loaded. The first statement there, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And when I look at that little statement, there is motivation to study. What is it, according to that verse, that should motivate you to study? Study so that you might be what? Approved unto God. Okay, keep your finger here. Let's do a little cross-reference here. Go to Acts 2. Keep your finger there. You might be thinking to yourself, I'm saved. I'm approved unto God. Okay, you are eternally secure in Jesus Christ. You can never lose that. Amen. But approval is not salvation. All right? And it's not like if God does not approve of you that you're unsaved. Approval goes hand in hand with what you're doing with the Christian life. What have you been doing for the Lord or not doing? And let me prove this to you. I don't want you to take my word for this. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's the Son of God, right? Capital S. You, if you're saved, are a little s Son of God. So if we are supposed to study to be approved unto God, I want you to notice what it says about Jesus Christ and approval unto God, the Father. Look at Acts 2:22. Very interesting verse here. 2:22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. Okay, how was the Lord Jesus Christ approved? Let's keep going. By miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. What separated the Lord Jesus Christ from any other person who's ever lived? His ability to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. Now wait for the word. Proving that he is God manifest in the flesh. Correct? Go back to 2 Timothy. Verse 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, do you have to perform signs, wonders, and miracles to be approved by God? No, the Lord Jesus Christ did that. And there was some proving going on of who he was by signs, wonders, and miracles. You know what proves who you are as a Bible-believing Christian? Whether or not you study God's Word. Pretty interesting, isn't it? So there's the first thing. The motivation for Bible study ought to be approval unto God. I didn't say that's what the Bible says. Then it says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And I call this the mission of Bible study. The goal or the mission of Bible study is to get you and I to the place where we are not ashamed of God's Word. And here's the thing. If you have answers to Bible questions that people ask you, you will not be ashamed. And the only way you will get answers to Bible questions that people could pose to you, you better have been studying in order to know what to say, correct? How many of you, well, you don't have to raise your hand. I know many of you have. I'll confess, I have been in a situation, I think the first time that I was really, really ashamed was a little boxing match with, not a literal one, but a spiritual one with a Jehovah's Witness. And that guy took me round and round, and I didn't know what to say. So you know what I did? That was good motivation for me to study so that never happens again. And I have been back and forth with those guys since then, and I've held my own. I've done better. I wouldn't say I've always had every single answer, but I've done a whole lot better because that first time, I didn't do so hot. And I was ashamed because I didn't know answers. I didn't have answers from the Bible. So make sure that you have answers, and the way you get answers is you study. Study God's Word, all right? Look at the last part of this. Oh, this is really important. Last part of verse 15. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And there is the method of Bible study. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Did you know there are divisions in your Bible? I'll go into more of this. We'll probably spend we might have to take a few lessons on this one. But there are divisions in your Bible. For instance, I just mentioned that Paul wrote certain letters in your Bible, right? He wrote Romans to Philemon. Well, that's one division in your Bible. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are actually a separate division. That's about the life of Jesus Christ. That's the Gospels. Then you got the book of Acts, which is all by itself. It's a book of church history. Transition book from the Gospels to Paul's letters. Oh, and then we compare those to the Old Testament. And there are some differences, correct? And that's why we've got to rightly divide. I'll give you a good example of this. In Sunday school, we've been talking about food. How many of you got your gallon of water in today? I'm close. I got to drink a little bit more when I get home and I'll have my gallon in. And you don't want to wait until 7, 8 o'clock at night to get a whole bunch of water in you. Yeah, that's bad. You know what happens during the night. Yeah. But you want to do it throughout the day. So anyway, get your gallon in if you can. You feel so much better. I'm telling you. If you don't believe me, you need to try it. You feel so much better getting that water. But we're talking about food and this morning, water and drink. And when, lost my train of thought there. Yeah. Rightly dividing. Thank you. Yes. Wow. I'm almost 50, Brother Mark. That's what it is. We were talking about food, and we were in Leviticus 11 last week. And there's a bunch of animals that you're not supposed to eat, right? Ah, you got to get the proper divisions down. The division being, there are passages in your Bible aimed at a Jew under the law. And only a Jew living under the law. Not aimed at a Christian living in the church age. So when you read Leviticus 11, you'll see there, it mentions that's directed to the Israelites. So under the law, they had to keep that. You're not under the law anymore, right? Because Jesus Christ kept the law. He became a curse of the law for it. He became a curse for us, who should be cursed because we could keep the law. And as a result, we don't have to worry about keeping those Old Testament commands concerning diet, right? So there's this one division. Did you know there's actually three different people in your Bible? People groups, I should say. There's the Jew. There's the Gentile. And then there's a third. It's the Church of God. I'll show you that. Church of Jesus Christ, which you are a part of. Now, in the Church of Jesus Christ, you got Jews and Gentiles, right? But there's divisions there. There's differences. So if you don't divide, you make everything as one, and it leads to massive confusion. So the method there is to rightly divide God's Word. That is so important. We'll spend, probably spend a couple lessons on that. Now, go over to 2 Corinthians. Back up. 2 Corinthians 11. Back up in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 11. Now, you can understand the Bible if you have a few things here. And I want to remind you, the tools I'm going to get to here eventually, I want to remind you that you can understand the Bible because, look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 11 about the Bible. Look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the, what's that next word? Simplicity that is in Christ. Folks, really, it's simple to be saved, isn't it? Isn't it simple? It tells you right there, simplicity in Christ. And I'm telling you, it's not difficult. And I think you can actually say it's simple to believe the Bible when you are equipped with the proper tools. So, let's get into what I personally believe is most important. The most important thing when it comes to studying your Bible. This is point number two. The what of Bible study. So if you would, go to John chapter 3. The what of Bible study. So we had the how, which is to rightly divide God's Word. Here's the what. John chapter 3. Now, this verse isn't really connected with studying your Bible, but I want to go here to show you something else in relation to studying your Bible. John 3, look at the last verse in the chapter, 3:36. Probably know this verse. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son of God, on the Son, hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So here's the simplicity of salvation. What is the requirement? What is the action required for salvation, folks? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that simple. So, if you would, with that in mind, the simplicity of salvation goes hand in hand with the simplicity of Bible study, at least on this end. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. The action taken for you to be saved on your part was to believe. The work was done. It was accomplished by Jesus Christ. You don't have to do the work. He did it for you. You got to believe He did the work for you. Death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 2, you'll see that word believe connected with an understanding of the Bible. Look at verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Okay, so this is a very important verse when it comes to Bible study. There is no secret or magic formula to you having an understanding of God's word. I'll give you the key, the what of Bible study, and it is to, when you go through and study and read, believe every single word of God. Now, you might think, duh, but I come across, and Sherry and I have a conversation about this on the way over here, I come across people that I really believe are saved. I really do. But then you start talking about the Bible and particularly focusing on the importance of the words of God in the Bible, and they start scratching their head thinking, what are you, a fanatic or something? You ever come across these people like this? And I believe they're saved. I believe they love God, but they're missing something. They're missing out on every single word, believing every single word. Psalm 12, the words of the Lord are pure words, every one of them. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. So what am I to do? What do I do with God's words? I am to just believe them. Now, here's where you got to watch it. You say, I don't understand certain things in the Bible, and I am with you. Nancy Hardy, I went back and forth with Beth a couple days ago. After she's post-surgery, said this is in a lot of pain. Did she reach out to y'all? Said she's hurting a lot, so keep Beth in prayer. She came through surgery, but hurting. But Nancy Hardy, the last little bit there before she died, Sherry and I picked her and Beth up and came to church, and she was after me to do a Bible study on the book of Ezekiel. And I said, no. She said, why not? You can do it. I said, I don't understand half of it. I say half of it, probably more, a lot more than that. So you say, what do I do with these passages that I don't understand, that are over my head? I'll tell you what to do. Brother Mark says, step ahead. Believe them anyway. There's things that sound otherworldly in the Bible. In fact, you go over to Ezekiel, it sounds like some UFOs flying around, something unusual flying around upstairs there. Ezekiel 1, you don't have to go very far. And I think you see it again over in Ezekiel 10. And you'll think, what in the world is that? You can say, I can't tell you all about it, but I believe that God put that in there for a reason. And a lot of it has to do with the future. And God will do what He said He'll do. Believe it. Believe it, believe it, believe it. That's all you get from tonight. Believe it. Now look at the verse. It says that when you believe the Word of God, what does it do in you? You see that? God's Word works in you only if you believe it. You got to believe it, and it works in you. And the way that God does work, you know this by now, He does work on the inside, and then it manifests itself on the outside. Now, Baptists have had this backwards for years. We like to fix people on the outside first. And don't think about what's going on the inside. You better get the heart right first. Work on the inside, or let God work on you on the inside first, and then the outside will just come without anybody having to really tell you. The Holy Spirit will tell you a lot of things about the outside. So, believe every word, and God will work in you. It is God, Philippians 2, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. How does He work in you? Through the Word of God and you believing every word when you read it. Okay? So, go to Acts 24. I want to give you a warning about something here. Acts chapter 24. I'll give you a warning. In the day we live in, and even in Paul's day, you will see here, it was not a popular thing to be a Bible believer. I'm giving you this warning because people will come after you. And they'll say, you're a fanatical Bible believer. And you say, yes, I am. I love every word of God. Every single one of them. I believe that the old preacher used to say, I believe the Bible cover to cover, including the cover. And why not? That's a real belief in what God said. Acts 24:14. This is a little warning I want to give you. And I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just telling you something that'll happen. 24:14. This is Paul talking here. He says, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing, what's that next word? All things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Paul was a Bible believer. He believed all the Bible. He had at the time, he had the law and the prophets. Didn't have the New Testament like we do at that point in history. But notice that the world, and if actually look at the context here, you get it's actually religious people. Not just the world, but religious people. If you are a Bible believer, they will sooner or later call you a what? A heretic. It says, oh, that's heresy. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been accused by what I thought were Bible believers of being a heretic just for believing what God said. Because some people only want to go so far. They don't want to go all the way with this believing the Bible stuff. They only want to believe the parts of the Bible that they actually understand, which is, for a lot of folks, is not that much. Believe all of it, whether you understand it or not. I'm just telling you, people are going to say, you really believe? You must be crazy. They thought Paul was crazy. Hey, who got the last laugh on that one? I don't want to say laugh because it's a serious matter, but Paul was right. And don't you want to be right approved unto God? Study God's Word and start off when you study by believing everything you see in the Bible. Okay, so let's get this last thing here. If you would, go to Luke 24. I'm actually on track here. Go to Luke 24. So we had the how of Bible study. And the what of Bible study? The how is rightly divide it, rightly divide the word of truth. The what? Believe every word. Here's the who. And there's two very important people that you need to get to know real well. Luke 24. Luke 24, go to the towards the end here. This is these fellows on the road to Emmaus. The Lord has some fun with these guys. He doesn't reveal who He is at first. If you go down there to 24:44. Jesus talking here says, and He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Watch 45. Then opened He, that's Jesus Christ, opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Okay, notice in 44, the written Word of God is mentioned there, and the written Word of God being connected with Jesus Christ. And then verse 45, let me ask you a question. Who is it that opens up to you the understanding of the Scriptures? According to verse 45, just answer it based on where verse 45. Who is it? Who opens to you the understanding of the Scriptures? Jesus Christ. So the first person you need to know is Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Are you saved? If you're saved, you know Him. Maybe you don't know Him as good as you should know Him, but if you're saved, you have a relationship with Him. You should know Him. Problem, folks. Let me back up before I tell you the problem. Wouldn't you tonight, and you're not going to hurt my feelings one bit, wouldn't you tonight rather have the Lord Jesus Christ in the pulpit than me? Yeah, amen. Let's go. Yeah, He wouldn't stumble and forget what He was going to say. Certainly wouldn't. Every word out of His mouth would be exactly what needed to. Wouldn't have all this wasted wind like I do. I would much rather have Jesus Christ teach me the Bible than any other man. Amen? Here's the problem. He's not here. Uh-oh. Let's get the answer to that. Is He here or is He not here? Go to John 14. Let's answer that before we actually read this. Physically, the Lord Jesus Christ is not here now. He's coming back, but He's not physically on earth now. However, I think Katie's on to this. He does live within believers. Now, you're thinking it's the Holy Spirit that lives in believers. Oh, Paul also mentions in Romans it's the Spirit of Christ that's in you as well. Which is it? Holy Spirit? Spirit of Christ? Doesn't matter, right? Same. Different, but the same. So, the Lord is not here to teach us physically, but look what He did here. 14:25. The first who of Bible study is the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to know Him. Here's the second one. Look at 25. Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall what? Teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So notice the Lord says, hey, 25, He says, now I'm with you. But He wouldn't always be with them, correct? In fact, go to 16:13. Go to John 16. Go down there to verse 13. 16:13. The Lord said He was going to leave, but He wouldn't leave them all by themselves. Look at 16:7, actually. This will tell us about what I just said better than I said it. 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." And then He tells you what the role of the Comforter is. Good verses there. But go on to 13 in relation to Bible study. Look at verse 13. "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will," what's the word? "Guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." So the key thing that the Comforter does there, according to verse 13, when it comes to Bible study, He guides us into all truth. So you make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first who of Bible study. The second who is the Holy Spirit. Who is it, folks, that while you're wherever you like to read and study the Bible, you got your little place at home or wherever, maybe in the coffee shop. I get a lot of good stuff just in the coffee shop, nobody else around. Who is it that's showing you things you previously did not know from the Bible when there's nobody there? Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. And there's many things about the Christian life that are just exhilarating. There are so many things about being a Christian. When you tell somebody how to get saved and they get saved, that's exhilarating. That's exciting, isn't it? I'm going to tell you what else is really exciting. When the Holy Spirit shows you something that nobody taught you, no man taught you. So hope my prayer, my desire for this series is I'll do my best with the Lord's help to give you some tools so that you will have these moments repeatedly where you're in your Bible and the Lord is showing you things that I certainly and nobody else certainly could show you. Only the Spirit of God could show you. And it is just an awesome thing. Think about it, folks, just to know that Almighty God is revealing truth to you. Nobody else but you and Him, and He's showing you things maybe about you, maybe about something you need to do, could be something about the future from the Bible, because there's prophecy. Didn't it say there, He will show you things to come in verse 13? The Holy Spirit will show you some things prophetically that maybe nobody ever showed you. The Holy Spirit will show you those things. So, as we go through this, I'm going to do my best to give you some tools here to study the Scriptures. But they will be of no use to you if you don't put them to use. So now, you got the materials for the doghouse. Picture this. You got the materials, you got the tools, and the instructions. And you look at them and you say, I got everything I need. I think I'll watch TV. That doghouse isn't going to get built, is it? Because what does 2 Timothy 2:15 say? A workman. Bible study requires work. To put that doghouse together is going to require some labor, some work. And again, to study the Bible is going to require you to do some work. But it's worth it. Time spent in God's Word is always worth it. Amen to that? So I hope this will help you. And man, I got finished at 7:01. Hallelujah. It is a miracle tonight. Try to keep these short. I know that if I overwhelm you with a lot of stuff, you end up forgetting half of it or most of it. So try to keep it short. So you got three little basic things there to hopefully kick us off. And next Sunday night, we'll get into the first principle. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. You got to come back for that. All right. Would it help if I gave you some handouts to go along with these? Okay, I can't promise you, but I'm going to do my best to get those going. Try next week and see how it goes, all right? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Help us this week to just really be motivated for what we saw tonight here, to read, study, and believe your words. I pray that we come back here next week and we have conversations about what you have done in us and what you have shown us, just as a simple reading and studying and believing your words. We want to pray for you to equip us with the armor, your armor this week. We need it as we go out into this world. We ask you to protect us from the fiery darts of the wicked. Help us to be bold in our stand for you. Help us not to be ashamed. And I just pray that you would just help those that are dealing with difficulty right now. I pray for the McGregor family right now. Just really mourning and grieving and missing Brother Mac, and we just pray for them. I pray that you would give them the comfort that only you can provide. Nobody or nothing else can give them, but you can. Help them through this. May they rejoice in knowing that He is with you right now. And we just want to pray for Margaret and that family as they travel this week. We pray for their safety. I want to pray for Beth Hardy also. She's having some issues with pain. Pray for her recovery. I know we've got many others here. We have folks who would love to be here tonight but are dealing with physical issues. Paul and Joyce and many others that are just dealing with real difficulty. We pray you give them strength and comfort and some relief tonight that only you can provide them. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.